you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Eagle podcast presented by Nissan
World Cup on all the TVs here.
Yeah, we were watching that Mexico match a little bit ago.
Mexico, Poland. It's, I mean, you know, they've been going at it for decades. It's, you kind of, when Mexico plays Poland, you just throw the records out.
I did watch the U.S. match.
That was yesterday?
Didn't love the finish, but.
Yeah, I was kind of wrapped up in 49ers cards and then the Temple St. John's game, so I missed it.
Okay. All right. Well, this is Eagle Eye. We mentioned that. He's Ruben Frank. I'm Dave Zingara. We do have a bunch to get into today. As always, we want to start.
Someday you're going to come and say, we got nothing to talk about.
Wait until, like, you know, May.
Yeah. We got nothing.
May or June, I'll say we have a lot, and I lie. This time of year, we really do have a lot to talk about. We had the post-game pod, but we've had a few days now to kind of digest the way that game went. A close game, 17-16, a win. They moved to 9-1 on the season. So we want to talk more about the defensive line rotation, their answers to not having Dallas Goedert, and how that might continue to evolve a little bit, at least for the next three games. You have some stats for us in a little bit, and we want to look at the NFC with this game against the Packers coming up. But the D-line rotation, they found a really good rhythm with Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. It was really impressive, and it's just as impressive rewatching the game. Like, we thought they played a lot. We thought they played well. I was even more impressed rewatching the game.
Yeah, same here. And it's really incredible that, I mean, Linval got here Wednesday. Suh got here Thursday.
Well, they agreed.
They agreed.
They didn't get here.
They got here the next day. Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking about two guys who weren't in a training camp, weren't on a rock, didn't know defense, didn't know the coaches, didn't know the teammates, didn't know the playbook, and got here with a day or before a game and really played well. And really, to their professionalism, their preparation, the really so all right yeah. Now, but Sue played well too. But the more I think about it, I mean, do you even need a training camp? like, just get rid of training camp and just sign guys.
We've seen some players do this now. I wonder if this will be a trend for some older players who are
sure.
Like, why? I don't want to be in training camp. We saw, I mean, the Eagles, I mean, who was it? Corey Graham did that a few years for the Eagles.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes sense if you're a good enough player that a team will want you. And it makes sense to even wait until the end of the season.
Sure.
You know, I mean, wait and see how these teams look, because I think there have probably been some veterans to sign a 1-year deal with a team that stinks, and they're locked in, and like, they just could be their last, and then that team wants to start playing.
To pick and choose their team. They're not in it for the money at this point. They're not. I mean, they've both made a fortune. Sue's made like $169,000. Joseph's made
million.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you for that small distinction. Joseph's made almost $70 million. So they're not looking at. They know they're not getting big contracts, big bonuses at this point. They just want to be on a winning team. So why not wait till week 8, week 10, and pick your team? It's kind of crazy that. They were both out there. They both came in the same week. They got identical contracts. They both played significant number of snaps. And they, I was looking up on Pro Football Focus. I mean, Linval Joseph was fifth-rated defensive tackle in the entire league in week 11. And it was like 11th. Really, really amazing. And, you know, I've been hard on Tracy Rocker. I think the D-line is underachieved significantly since he's been here, but I got to give him props for getting these guys ready and whatever time they did have together. And Gannon made a really good point today, Tuesday, about how they just kind of gave them each one position. I mean, they're both versatile. Well, Sue is really versatile guy. He can play all over the place, but they just gave one spot, learn that. Everyone else around you is versatile. We can fit them in. Didn't overload them. Just gave them and left them there. And I thought that was really a smart way to approach it.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. And you're right. I mean, Linval, for the most part, I think we're probably just going to see him play the nose, even when Jordan Davis gets back. I mean, there might be some times he has more experience. And I'll actually know what they think about Jordan Davis, because they've really only played Jordan Davis as the nose in that odd front. If they start playing Linval in other spots, like, okay, they're doing these already, not necessarily because they don't think it translates. But yeah, I think that's probably going to stay at least until Jordan Davis is out. But you're right. With Sue, I think they're going to start. I mean, he can play pretty much any position on the line.
Yeah. Yeah, he can.
And they have guys who can play, like, they have edge guys who can play. Like, we've seen BG play inside, so it really opens up some. Milton can play inside, outside. They have a lot of options.
Yeah, one product of having those two guys on the field Sunday was, I thought Milton had one of his better games.
I agree.
And I thought Fletcher had one of his better games, at least since, like, week two or three when he was playing really well. Mm-hmm. I think it benefited both of them. Milton looked rejuvenated. So, you know, those guys don't have to play as many snaps. They can be more effective when they're in there. And they've got some really good teammates. It's going to be like, I mean, we don't know when Jordan Davis will be back. I mean, he's got to miss two more games.
Yeah.
At least. But we don't know he'll be back then. But once he is, man, it's going to be really fun to watch how this all comes together.
Wait, is it one more game? He's eligible to return against Tennessee.
Oh, the it's okay. One more game. Yeah, he's not walking around on crutches or on a scooter or anything. I mean, so there's no outward signs that it's super serious. So we'll see. You know, everyone wants to see him play. He was really starting to play well. Unfortunate injury, but man, it's. Yeah, you look around the locker room, you're like, that's like Ndamukong Suh is right there. Like, wow, how did this happen? It's just, it's surreal.
Yeah, and I've heard some jokes about this defense will be the best defense ever assembled like 4 years ago, which is true. I mean, these guys are past their prime.
Sure.
A lot of them. And you can add Robert Quinn into that mix. But at least in game one, we saw Joseph and Suh really play well. And Joseph ended up with 26 snaps, which, you know, if the game had been different, he admitted he probably would have played less. Suh was 17. And I think that maybe not with Joseph as much, because his snaps are going to really be dictated by what the offense is doing and what kind of game it is. But I would expect we see Suh ramp up a little bit.
Yeah, I would think so. And they both are in such good shape. Mm-hmm. And they're both guys that have been durable during their careers. They obviously take good care of themselves. And I'm sure that was a big part of bringing them in. You know, at this point, I mean, there's 2 months left in the season. You're not bringing in somebody who's got to play himself into shape.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If they can't play now, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But I wanted to go through the way these snaps broke down in this game.
Yeah.
And let me know where if you think this makes sense, or if they need to adjust anything. And they had a total of 65 defensive snaps. So you had Reddick with 50, Cox with 3, Hargrave 47, Sweat 36, Graham 29, Joseph 26, Milton 18, Suh 17, Quinn 10, Patrick Johnson 5.
I think 10's a little much for Quinn at this point.
It's not looking good. I mean, that's kind of the other side of this, is they brought in two guys who made immediate impacts, whereas Quinn now, he's averaged fewer than 15 in his four games. He has two tackles.
Yeah, and no pressures. And
well, he has one quarterback hit.
One, does he? Oh, in the first game?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even notice him on Sunday.
Yeah.
So you're not going to hit on all these guys. He's not making much money. So,
well, the weird thing is, if you were to ask me coming into the season, of those three would you want?
Sure.
Well, probably the guy who had 18 sacks last
18
year.
18 and a half sacks. You never know what's going on. I behind the scenes, he just doesn't look super engaged. I don't know. But if you hit on two of those three, of the old guys they're bringing in, which is crazy to think that they just signed three former Pro Bowl guys in their mid-30s. I guess he's 33, 32, Quinn.
Quinn's 32.
Yeah, he's the youngest of the group. He's a baby.
He's a spring chicken compared to Paul Joseph and Dominican Sue.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's inactive moving forward.
Well, you don't really need to. There's no one else you need to have up.
Who's on the practice squad?
Teron Jackson?
Yeah. Getting much from him. I guess. I just.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to stick with Quinn a little bit and see if you can get something out of him.
It's been 3 weeks. So I'd be surprised if we, four. You know. Has he played four games?
Yeah.
He's played three.
Four.
He's played four. My bad. Yeah. I'm not sure it's going to magically start for him, but I guess there's nothing to lose.
Yeah. I mean, you got to keep trying. But if his snaps go up, because he had 17, who loses snaps?
Quinn.
Well, no. I mean,
outside snaps. No. Fletcher was at 40.
Fletcher was at 48. Hargrave at 47. Like, I just wonder how they're solid, because everyone, like, when there's excitement because Sue is here,
yeah,
and like they have all these pieces and they have all these good players. He's going to want to play more, and he probably should play more.
Yeah.
He's not going to start. They're going to keep starting Fletcher and Hargrave and whoever the nose is if they're in their odd, which is fine. But well, ego plays a role in this at some point. I know that right now it isn't.
Yeah. And some guys are like BG, who's like, I'm the best version of myself right now playing 25, 30. What did he play Sunday? BG was at 20 something.
Yeah.
26. But yeah, I think the snaps will come from Fletcher and a few from Hargrave. I think Hargrave can really make a big impact without playing close to 50 snaps. They're going to have to come from everywhere. Milton's pretty low as it is.
Yeah, and he's playing well, though.
And he's playing well.
So that's always one of those things, too, where you're a young player and you're like, well, how does he's playing snaps? Because he's just playing well and he can play more. We'll have to see. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So let's get into a little bit of what actually led to these two guys being on the team. Howie Roseman, he deserves some roses for this.
Roses?
Yeah.
And one thing I really admire about Howie is his ability to think outside the box. And you know, whether it's like a mulatto, a rugby player who's never played football in his life, or practice squad guys from other teams, guys like Greg Ward and Boston Scott, who ended up, you know, both have played big roles for this team on some good teams. He's always looking outside the box to find players. Even a guy like Epps, you know, a waiver claim from the Vikings, who really hadn't played much defense in his life. And these guys certainly fall into that. You know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson falls into that. I remember how disappointed everyone was at the end of the initial free agency signing period. Oh, they didn't do anything. They just got one guy, you know, Reddick. And then, you know, and then Bradbury is like late in free agency. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's after training camp. And then these two guys are in the middle of November. It's a year-round.
And if you go to offense, A.J. Brown was during the draft.
Right. He doesn't limit himself as far as talent acquisition. He's willing to try unusual methods, unusual sources of talent. I think they have a really good pro personnel department that, you know, really guides him in the right direction. Their batting average isn't perfect on those guys, but it's pretty good. He's just very inventive in terms of finding players and making, you know, and guys that fit. you know, we heard Gannon talk so much today about smart players and just how having intelligent players enables him to run things that he wants to run and that they couldn't otherwise run. And that's a big part of evaluation too, is finding smart guys, finding guys who understand the game and maybe can do more than someone that doesn't have that intelligence. There's just so much goes into it. And I just give him so much credit. He's come so far. And I mean, I think every year he's going to be in the running for executive of the year. He's going to have to be after that Jalen contract. It's going to really change the way they do things. But you have faith in him being able to navigate that. I really think Howie was a liability for a while. I mean, some of those, you know, they had some really rough years because they couldn't draft, especially in the first round. And they've gotten through that. He's learned a lot. I think he understands talent better. He's become a better listener. He delegates more. I think he was humbled by the whole Chip thing in 15 and took that year to really kind of rededicate himself to the job. And he's just been much better at it since then.
Yeah. He's very aggressive. That's what I've always appreciated about him. And it doesn't mean it's going to work. Like there are misses. And I think that's one of those moments where you have to kind of step back too and say, well, look at the GMs around the league and kind of compare it to what's the average, right? And I think in terms of talent acquisition, when you include free agency and the draft, he's been above average. Now, they have had some mistakes. And even when they add Sue and Linval Joseph, in a way you're thinking like, he can't help himself. He's just going out and doing these things.
Yeah.
But I think it's put them in a really good position. And, you know, you mentioned they had some down years. I guess so. But, like, they've been consistently really good since he's been in charge.
Yeah, this will be the fifth time in the last 6 years during the postseason. You know, to go from the whole Doug, I mean, the Doug thing kind of, you know, went through 19. They were still a playoff team. They had 20 was a write-off. And then by the next year, they're in the playoffs again and now building on that. So,
And even like, so we know he's going to give out this big contract to Jalen Hurts. And we were here not that long ago with Carson Wentz, and it obviously didn't work out. And I've heard, you know, I think there are two, Howie doesn't deserve the credit for moving on from Wentz because he put himself in that position. But I disagree with that. I mean, I don't think anyone thought it was a bad idea to sign Wentz at the time.
Right.
And his ability to realize, you know, once it was pretty clear that it wasn't going to keep working, and Carson probably helped him out in that sense a little bit, he got back the most he could for them, and it didn't franchise long term.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I have a lot of faith in him being able to build a roster that can work alongside a $48 million, whatever it ends up being per year contract. Did I say thousand? I said million that time, right?
Million that time.
Because
they get him for $48,000 a year. That'd be pretty good.
It comes down to drafting, because you're not going to be able to sign a ton of free agents. You're going to sign a couple. It's going to come down to drafting. They've been pretty good at that. So you need those guys on rookie deals. We know that, and they have picks. They have a lot of picks. They always. I think over the last several years, their draft record has been better than most, and it's got to stay that way. But, yeah, I don't know how many GMs would bring both these guys in.
Probably not many. I mean, I don't know if they would have made a move after Robert Quinn.
Yeah.
And it was pretty clear that that hasn't been working, and it still didn't prevent him from pulling the trigger again.
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to just keep signing old guys. It's not working with Quinn. I can see some GMs. Yeah. He's going to be executive of the year again. I thought Joe Douglas had a shot. They've kind of flattened out a little bit.
Well, they've got a quarterback problem.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Not my fault.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny, though? This is all we used to cover.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always we. Sometimes it's quarterback. It's got to be, even when it's not right, you just got to stand up there and say, it's all me.
And Jalen does that so naturally. I think it's one of the reasons.
Jalen's hesitant to go the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he for 19, he'd be like, yeah, you know, we did complete that pass, but I was a terrible. I think you don't see a lot of quarterbacks who are this respected by everyone in the locker room. Defense, I've seen quarterbacks that the defense hated just because of that, because of their attitude. They were divas. The defense loves Jalen Hurts, and that's really rare.
You mentioned draft picks. I just want to update. Right now, if the season ended, they would have the number 10 pick and number 31 pick.
Yeah, Saints got to lose some games.
Yeah, I mean, a top 10 pick is still pretty good. And there's only 31 picks in the first round this year.
Yeah, so they could win the Super Bowl and not have the 32nd pick. That's a good year to win the Super Bowl.
The next thing, I wanted to talk about Dallas Goedert and, well, really the absence of Dallas Goedert. This game played out pretty much how I thought it would. Jack Stoll got a big bump in his snaps. They played the other two guys a little bit. But they were, you know, especially in the second half, they were a really heavy 11 personnel team. And most of the targets went to AJ and Devontae.
And Quez, yeah.
Quez got only two targets, but he made an impact, yeah.
Yeah, and they even tried throwing to the backs a little bit with minimal success. But
well, big penalty.
Yeah, that's true. I think what you know, what we saw was Jalen Hurts was the best replacement for Dallas, just running the ball. Kind of that was the heart of the offense in the fourth quarter, at least. You know, I think all three of those guys committed a penalty, right? Stoll, Tyree, and Calcaterra.
Yeah, Stoll's was on special teams.
Yeah.
And look, the Tyree one was a pick play where it's like,
yeah, that was a little shaky.
It was, you know, did he do anything wrong? Probably not, but
yeah,
still a negative play.
Yeah.
Calcaterra's was a hold.
Yeah, it was pretty blatant.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think and Stoll's fine. I mean, he's not going to catch a bunch of passes, but he caught. He had the one target.
Yeah, one target, one catch for 7 yards.
Yeah, and he's just a good blocker. He's a solid guy.
They would almost be like, you know, the production's not there. I don't think they played particularly well, the tight ends, but it would almost be malpractice if you just said, "We really got to get the ball to Jack Stoll." You know?
Right. Right. You can't go into it that way. And I think you made the point last week with those three guys, you replace them with everyone on the roster. And I think that's the way it played out. And look, it's going to take some time to, I mean, Stoll's playing more than he ever has. The other two guys haven't really played much and they're playing. I don't know if we'll see as much of the other two moving forward.
Well, you know, what was interesting. They gave each of them some snaps in the 11 personnel package. Well, because they ran so much 11, but they were trying to find ways to get those guys on the field too.
Yeah.
I get that because you have Stoll, who's not really known as a receiving tight end, and those other two, especially Calcaterra, are. So I think Calcaterra had 7 of his snaps came as the tight end and 11 personnel, which is a little interesting.
That is. Yeah. I mean, he can really catch and run. So at some point, we might see that. But you feel a comfort level with Stoll. I mean, it's the second year. He's played a lot of football. He just hasn't caught a lot of passes. But this is just the way it's going to be for a while. I think it'll smooth out, I would think. I mean, this is the first time. I think I looked it up. This is only the second game they've played without Selleck, Ertz, or Goddard in since 2006,
wow.
Which is crazy. They've always had one of those guys in uniform. There was one game, what was it, in 20? I don't remember, but there was one game where Goddard and Ertz both missed a month, and they overlapped by 1 week, maybe in 2018 or 19.
The Richard Rodgers game.
I think, yeah, the Richard Rodgers game. Yeah, he had 85 yards. And they could have used Richard Rodgers Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Say what you want about Rich Rod, but he's a veteran that you can just plug and play. He's not going to give you much as an inline blocker, but as a receiver, he's, you know, he can catch the ball and he's established. He's done it. Whereas Calcaterra, we know he has the ability, but there's no experience there to rely on.
Yeah. I think ideally you'd like to have a veteran backup, but
yeah, I wanted to get your take on this because in that game on Sunday, Eagles had 23 targets, 16 of them combined for AJ Brown and Devontae. So 70% to two guys. That's a lot. Is that sustainable? Can they keep doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably would too.
I would. I thought Devontae had a pretty good game.
They were running those comebacks of Devontae that in man coverage. That was 3 yards.
Yeah, that was his average is really low this year. He hasn't had a lot of big plays, but
he almost had that one on the sideline. He was pretty close to that.
Yeah.
Closer than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been a nice one. But, I mean, he's really solid. I mean, he catches it. He's tough. He holds on to it. Yeah, I would keep doing it.
Yeah, and because they're running so much 11, there's going to be more snaps for Pascal. There's going to be more snaps for Quez. I'd like to see Quez get a few of these targets. He had two in this game, and he made a big catch. I think
two, really. Yeah.
Both catches were big. Yeah.
Third and eight.
I would, you know, not that you're going to start running the offense through Quez the way you would through the two, but get Sherrod going his way. I think he can be a nice, effective weapon for them.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I'd like to see him get more involved. And we've seen that the last weeks.
Non-existent for
about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
He had that one big game early, but he's got good hands. Mm-hmm. You know, he catches the ball really well. The fumble, that wasn't really a hands issue. It was just kind of spatial awareness.
It was a weird play.
It was a weird play.
You don't give him a pass, but it was a weird play.
Yeah, exactly. So, and man, he's fast.
Yeah.
I have no problem.
5 games this year without a yard.
How many targets do you have in those games, though? Not many, right? 3 or 4?
Yeah. Not many.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, on the one hand, I can see, I mean, Jalen, if you've got Goddard, Devontae, and A.J. Brown, it's like, that's your offense. I mean, there's no secret. But without Goddard, Quez has to be a factor.
Yeah, I'd like him to be the third option in the passing game. So it's like those other two get their targets bumped up, but then you still have leftover targets because Dallas was getting, what, like 5.8 a game? Yeah. So you have to replace those somehow. And it all averages out, so you're not going to get them every game, but I think that they might start doing that because Quez can play.
Yep.
And we saw it last year. It's not like he's never done it. Whereas these tight ends, they've never done it. Quez has at least shown he can be an effective player.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. All right. Catch all the sports action and more at Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Whether it's the last line, there's something for everyone in a great sports book. Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Philly loves a winner. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Nissan Thrill of the Drive event. So gift yourself what you really want this holiday season and shop your local Nissan store or visit NissanUSA.com today. Just like the holidays, these offers won't last.
Opioid addiction is a national public health crisis. The Someone You Know podcast from the Independence Blue Cross Foundation offers inspiring stories that challenge stigma, offer hope, and humanize the disease of addiction. Download the new season 3 of Someone You Know on all major podcast platforms. Herb, this is your favorite time of the week. Hit me with some stats.
Yeah, so I do a weekly stats, Eagle stats thing with the help of Stathead, which is like, it's like my Bible. I think it's fair to say. My Bible.
Your Dana Bible.
I got some Dana Bible stats if you want them. you know, this is interesting. It's not really a stat as much as a trend, I guess, but Eagles have won 7 straight road games. It's their third longest road winning streak in history. It's hard to win on the road, and I think that speaks a lot about this team's, you know, their focus, their ability to, you know, we talked about, like, whether it's a short week, which this was, whether it's a night game, whether it's a national TV game, you know, a third straight road game. This team seems to really have the same approach, the same focus, no matter what. Haven't lost a road game since regular season game, since that Giants game. A lot of streaks started that. Yeah. With that loss up there, the first Giants game last year. It's their third longest road winning streak ever. They lost, they won 9 straight over the 2000 and 2001 seasons and also over the 2003 and 2004 seasons. They also won 7 straight in 49 and 50. It's only the second time they've won their first 5 road games in a season. They also did that in 2001. They won their first 6. And this is interesting, too, and I write about pass defense. We don't talk about the Eagles' pass defense that much. 5 straight games, they've held an opponent to under 200 net passing yards, which is a really good number. Now, they haven't faced a lot of high-powered quarterbacks during that stretch either, but it's their longest streak since 98. They held 7 straight teams to under 200 net passing yards, and they're number 2 in the league in net passing yards allowed per game.
It's a different era of football.
yeah, exactly. And one more, and this is a fun one. Hassan Reddick now has 7.5 sacks. Hargrave has 7. They're the first Eagles teammates in 31 years to have 7 sacks through 10 games. And it was a couple familiar names, Clyde Simmons and Reggie White, in that great 91 season.
Decent company there.
Clyde had 9 through 10 games that year, and Reggie had 8. So Eagles and Cowboys, the only teams with 2 guys with 7 sacks.
Yeah.
Don't have any coin toss.
They've lost 1 coin toss all year.
Really? They're money on those coin tosses.
That's unbelievable.
They're money on those coin tosses. They're money on those coin tosses.
We get it. We get it. We get it. All right.
See that guy out there? They're money on them. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Tom.
Blowing out our eardrums at the headsets. NFC. Because aside from the Eagles win on Sunday, it was a pretty good day for them in terms of standings and seeding. Giants lose. Yes, the Cowboys won. But if the Cowboys win, you want it to be against the Vikings. So now the Eagles have 1 game on the Vikings, but really 2 games on the Vikings because they have the head-to-head. They have a couple games on each of the teams in the division, and you also remember they've already beaten Dallas. They're in a good spot right now.
Yeah, and you know when that Vikings-Cowboys game started, I'm thinking you got to root for the Cowboys here if you're an Eagles fan. By the end of it, I'm like,
all right, slow down. You got it.
Don't win by that many points. But yeah, I mean, look, it makes sense because if the Vikings win that game, then the Eagles cushion, like if they lose a game and the Vikings win, they're now no longer the number one seed. The Vikings are, but now they're in a position where they can lose a game, the Cowboys win, and they're still ahead of the Cowboys. I mean, that second Cowboys game is going to be huge. I mean, they're playing really well right now. Dak's playing really well, but Eagles have a better record. They have a head-to-head. I'll tell you what, the one team that you keep coming back to is the 49ers. I don't know how much of that. Did you catch any of that game?
They're scary.
I mean, that defense is legit.
Remember, there was like that few week span where everyone's like, that 49ers defense was overrated.
Yeah.
Well, they're looking pretty good.
Yeah, and Garoppolo is the perfect quarterback to kind of complement that defense. Complementary is not a verb, Rube. You know, he's efficient. He doesn't really make mistakes. He's not a super high power, but they don't need that. They need efficient and mistake free. They run the ball when they need to. They're dangerous. Well coached. I think D'Amico is. I mean, he'll be a head coach. I would think sooner than later.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy deserves it.
He was a coach when he was here. I mean, he just carried himself like a coach.
Mufasa.
He's a coach. He acted like a coach. So
one of my favorite guys to cover, by the way.
Yeah, same here. The Eagles didn't really have a coach there when Chip was here. So D'Amico's kind of they'll probably win that division.
Yeah, so right now, I mean, it's them and Seattle at 6-4.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we've enjoyed watching Geno and Seattle with all those rookies out there, you know, I think San Francisco's probably the likely team to come out of that.
Yeah, I would agree. But they also have they have 4 losses.
Yeah, they're 6-4.
They're 6-4. So again, that if they play in the playoffs, that game's going to be here. I like my chance. I like the Eagles' chances over just about anybody at home.
Yeah, I agree. Quietly though, I know they were on a bye week last week, but the Buccaneers are ahead in that division. Someone's going to win the NFC South. Someone has to.
Yeah.
And look, I know they haven't played well. I'm done declaring Tom Brady dead. I'm just not doing it.
He played great last week. I mean, he made some big time throws, and that's one team Eagles don't. I mean, they've had their share of bad losses to Tampa in the playoffs. Well, a couple of them, and another one to Brady. So it's certainly not a team you want to see, but I still don't think they're a great team, but they're scary.
So let's look at the teams, and we'll take teams because that's kind of weird. San Francisco's the scariest. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do.
Well, how about Minnesota?
Oh, I think San Francisco's better than Minnesota.
Interesting.
Yeah. They got more losses. They got 2 more losses, but that defense is, I mean, man, their linebackers can run and they hit, they can cover, they pressure. They're really sound. And, you know, they don't play a lot of games. They're just solid.
They're very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you. I still think Minnesota's a good team. And I think they're You know, I know they had that ugly loss to Dallas, but before that, I was thinking they're a much better team than what the Eagles saw
week two.
And you know, Kirk Cousins on primetime games always stinks.
What? Who do the Vikings have Sunday?
I'll look it up for you.
This is good radio podcast. Whatever we're doing here.
Yeah. The Vikings play on Thursday, so a short week.
Thanksgiving game.
Hosting Patriots.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting game.
One of those you're happy to play a game so quick after getting your butts beat?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I was actually listening to that game on radio to the Vikings channel. You know, in series, you can pick whichever broadcast crew you want to hear. And I wanted to hear the Vikings, and they were like, we've got to rethink everything we thought about this team right now. Which is fair. You give up, what is it, 40? So, yeah, we'll see how they respond. Yeah.
Patriots. You got Giants, Cowboys this week.
Yeah. And that's at the Meadowlands?
That is.
That's in Dallas, right?
That's in Dallas, yeah. Thanksgiving.
Yeah, obviously. I knew that. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Did you ever cover a Cowboys Thanksgiving, Cowboys-Eagles game?
Mm-hmm. Jerry puts out a heck of a spread for Thanksgiving.
He does, but, man, there's something depressing about sitting in a press box eating yams and turkey.
I'll tell you what's depressing being in Dallas than it is in Detroit.
That's for sure.
Done both of those.
There was one year that we had, like, there was like 30 of us staying in that Marriott by the airport for a Thanksgiving game against Dallas. And I called the restaurant manager. They were going to close at like 4 o'clock. I said, look, we got 30 people from Philly. We'll all come into your restaurant if you just stay open till like 10. And they did. And the only people in there were Philly media, and they had the bar open, and they had like a buffet with turkey and stuffing and, you know, asparagus and everything. And they just stayed open for us. And we all reached and left like $1,000 tip. We had one server, they had one cook, and yeah, it was probably the best meal I've ever had in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Yeah, it was cool.
You got anything else before we wrap this up?
No.
Yeah. We'll be back with you guys on Wednesday this week. We're not going to work on Thanksgiving. Well, we're not going to.
No, just don't tell them that.
We're not going to do a
podcast.
Let
them think we're.
Well, we'll be working. Just no pod.
We will be working.
All right. If you enjoyed the Eagle Eye podcast, please rate and subscribe wherever you get your pods. If you're watching on YouTube, please click the like button and subscribe there as well. We appreciate all the support. That's it for Rube. Eagle Eye presented by Nissan live here at Philly or at Rivers Casino, Philadelphia. We'll talk to you soon.